I'll just ask Jerry if you like Karen and Jerry's got to read Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 13.
Today's reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask for you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for you. I'm good.
George has given us a paraphrase of Jeremiah 33. I wonder if we can read it. You'll see that it's become personal to us here. Maybe we can read that together. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to this parish. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have carried against me. And I will forgive all their sins for rebellion against me. Then this parish will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth, and hear of all the goodness I do for it. And they will be in awe of the eternal of their love and prosperity against my soul and glory. This is the result of all saints.
Final of the series of messages that I would focus on two verses from Deuteronomy, which has just been read to us this morning. It is our relationship with God that determines the life we live. It is meant to be a living, loving, vibrant experience that brings out the best in us and makes life so worthwhile. In developing our relationship with God, we find from these verses that have just been read, five key words. Listen, this is in verse 12, the Good News Bible. Now, people of Israel, listen to what the Lord your God demands of you. Then there is worship, again in verse 12, the Good News Bible. Have reverence for the Lord. The third key word is love, verse 12, where we are told to walk in all his ways, to love him. Then we are to serve him, verse 12 again, with all your heart and all your soul. The last key word is obey, verse 13, the Good News Bible. Obey all his rules. I'm giving them to you today for your benefit. Listen, worship, love, serve, obey. Five special words, if given heed to, will enable us to live in God's ways, therefore good ways for us. Let us look at these words in more detail. Firstly, listen. This word means that we give attention to hear what someone is saying. It is something that requires us to concentrate on what is being spoken. To have a good relationship with God, we need to give attention to what he says. We need to listen. The scriptures are full of examples of folk that God used mightily, and one of their great attributes were their willingness to listen to him. God got the attention of Moses through a burning bush that was not consumed. And when God called him by name, Moses replied, "Here I am." Out of the dialogue that followed, two things stood out. Firstly, the authority and the authenticity of the one that spoke to Moses. And secondly, the feelings of great inadequacy by the one who listened. When Moses asked who it was that was calling him to lead the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt, we read in Exodus 3 verse 14 that God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He was to say this to the Israelites, "I am has sent me to you. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you." Moses had to be convinced of who it was he was speaking to him, of his authority and his authenticity, because he felt so inadequate that the task he was called to fulfill was so overwhelming. What were some of his doubts and fears? Well, in Exodus 3 and verse 10, we read that Moses said to God, "Who am I that I shall go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He considered himself to be a nobody. He also thought he had no credibility. Exodus 4 verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" And then that well-known fear that we read in Exodus 4 and verse 10. "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." His feelings of inadequacy led him to plead, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." In that chapter on faith in Hebrews 11, we read when Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses listened. The authority and the authenticity of the one who spoke was established. All of Moses' fears and doubts were dealt with, and he became a bold and fearless leader. Is it possible for us to hear the same voice that spoke to Moses and Abraham and Noah and Gideon and countless others? I believe it is, although it is not always easy. For often the consequences of listening mean that we are to follow in loving obedience that which we have heard. Just as it was in Moses' case, we have confidence in the words that Jesus spoke in John 10, verse 27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." The second key word is worship. The worship of God is called the Christian's highest occupation. It is what we are made for. Yet for many of us, worship has largely lost its meaning. We go through outward forms with little inner reality. It is meant to be a joy and a delight, a time of thanksgiving and praise. When we have discovered how to truly worship God, we have found our original purpose for being created, and the greatest source of joy, fulfillment, and satisfaction. Because God made all things and gave us life, he is worthy to receive all the honor and glory that we can give him. Sin made us self-centered. Christ came to make us God-centered, to shift our attention away from ourselves to him. Worship expresses by life and word the worth of God our Maker. It needs to be more than outward ceremony or ritual. It must be the deep response of our hearts to God in thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. True worship must begin in our hearts and homes, but it must not stop there. It must flow out into every part of life. It must include everything we do. In Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That means that we are to take our bodies, take all the tasks that we do each day, do all new work at home, the workshop, the farm, or whatever it is, and offer all that we are as an act of worship to God. This is our spiritual worship, our true worship that we should offer to Him. The third key word is love. We cannot talk about our relationship with God without mentioning love. Love is a two-way thing. First, there is God's love for us. The history of the Old Testament records that the law of Moses could not make mankind holy or stamp out evil. Men and women could not live by the law. They were incapable of fulfilling it. So out of God's great love and mercy for sinful men and women, He sent forth His only Son to accomplish on Calvary's cross that which alone could achieve reconciliation and redemption. In the New Testament scriptures, we learn that our Lord steadfastly set His mind on the cross. In a very real sense, it was an act of faith. For when He lay dying on the cross and uttered His last words, "It is finished," it was all that was possible for God to do. If the cross failed, mankind was indeed lost forever. To illustrate the measure of God's love for us, we need only turn to Romans 5 and verse 8, where we read, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we're still sinners, Christ died for us." God always takes the initiative in reaching out to lost people, motivated by love. That's why we are able to respond to His claims in our lives. We know from that great passage in Romans 8, which I shall read to you, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This passage gives a list of all the things that may be possible to separate us from the love of God, and yet concludes with the declaration that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that is God's love towards us. To grasp only a little of the depth of God's love leaves us with only one response: to love Him in return. True love comes from a heart that overflows with gratitude. I want to read a few verses from Mark. Mark chapter 12. Beginning at verse 28, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We now come to serve the fourth key word. Like love, we are to serve the Lord with all our hearts and with all our minds. Our relationship with God is an active experience. It has been said that we have been saved to serve. That is, not only have we been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary's cross, but we have also become his disciples and servants in cooperating with God and participating with him in the redemption of the world. This encompasses all that we do in life, 7 days a week. The gifts and talents that we've been given are to be used for God's purpose in his kingdom. And that covers every area in our lives. Sometimes we make a distinction between the spiritual and the temporal. But if we read from Matthew's Gospel, we find that there is no distinction. Service given to meet human needs is equated with service given to the Master. Again, we read this from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Whether we are his servants in meeting the spiritual or temporal needs of folk, we are to follow the example of Jesus when in humility he washed the disciples' feet. We are all dependent on God's love, mercy and grace, just as much in our servant role as in our redemption. In ourselves, we can do nothing. We are dependent entirely on God. This leads us to the final keyword, obey. It's when we respond in obedience and make ourselves available to God and his purpose that the power of the Holy Spirit is available and the life and the gifts he has given us can be greatly used in his kingdom. Sometimes the word obey seems cold, distant, a legal imperative. The thought arises that we are giving away our rights when we obey. But this is not so. Obedience that flows from a personal relationship and is motivated by love to God opens the door of worship, love, and service. John 14:21 tells us, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." God does not wish to restrict our lives. He wants to expand them. It is only when we are prepared to take our hands off our lives and allow the one who created them to direct the course that they should take, that we find God's true purpose is one that brings us deep fulfillment. The words of the old hymn puts it very simply, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." In the paraphrase of Jeremiah that we read this morning, we read of God's promise of restoration. I believe that we will find that these key words will form a very strong foundation in its fulfillment. Listen, worship, love, serve, obey. Key words and understanding how to begin and maintain a relationship with God. A relationship that will take us through both good times and bad, until that day our life's journey ends and we enter into His nearer presence. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious Father, we thank You that Your word teaches us how we may maintain a close and intimate relationship with You. We pray that You may enable us to take time to reflect on these five key words and find that in giving thanks to the Lord Almighty, we will find that the Lord is good, His love endures forever. The closing hymn is from Heaven You Came, Hapless Man.
Actually calling for a response from us as His people as a team, as a family. And yeah, what could be appropriate? I'm just thinking that maybe before we say the grace together, that would you just join me with stand with me here? Come stand here with me, and we can, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we want to serve God. They'd already travelled a long distance with God, but they had to set their direction for the future. And I think God's calling us as his family to say yes to him. We want to set a direction for the future. There's lots of things we'll have to do, but it's just maybe a small way that we can say yes, we want to go forward with you. Whatever's happened in the past, we want to go forward with you. And so would you come and join me, and then we can say the grace together. We can just get around here and say the grace to each other. No compulsion, just if you feel you want to indicate that, we'll send you here together. Say the grace. We don't need to close our eyes. We can look at each other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
One more thing. George has got something that he's prepared, and he wants to give to us. And so if you just see George, some meditations on Gideon, isn't it, in his life?
It's a Bible study. I'd just like you to take it home and in the quietness of your home, look through the scripture passages and see how it applies to your own life. So I've got them there.
Thanks, George.